I just want to preempt what I'm going to say by assuring you that I believe there is only one gospel. Okay? I believe there is only one gospel. Are you happy with that? Great. Okay. But now, having given you that assurance, we cannot escape. I think when we have a reading of the scriptures, the New Testament in particular, we cannot escape that there are at least two gospels referred to. Some scholars say there are six, but I think that's probably stretching the point a little bit. But you can't read the New Testament without understanding that there are at least two gospels that are mentioned. Okay, one is found mainly in the gospels themselves, those four books that Sabrina mentioned, because they are linked to the life and preaching of Jesus. The other gospel that is referred to is linked mainly to the Apostle Paul and is found in the epistles, in his letters, and so on. I just want to have a look at those. So, which, Peter or Ian, have you got Matthew chapter 4? Who's got Matthew chapter 4? Must be Ian. Are you happy to come up and read for us, Ian?
Yes, it'd
be lovely to have some visitors read God's word for us. So if the rest of you want to turn, Matthew chapter 4, and Ian's going to start at verse 12 through to 17 and 23 to 25. Which gospel are we hearing about here?
When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. And he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis and Jerusalem, Judea and the region across the Jordan followed him.
So what gospel was referred to there by name? Anyone remember? Pick it up. The gospel of, I think it might be verse 17. The gospel of, what gospel? Was Jesus proclaiming the gospel the kingdom. Thank you. Okay, is it verse 17? No? Yeah, well, there's one there, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But then in verse 23, he says he went around preaching, the synagogues preaching and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Okay. So there's a gospel contained in the gospels themselves, which the gospel writers, which Jesus refers to as the gospel of the kingdom. You can also see in those verses, Matthew 24, Mark 1, and Luke chapter 4. It's the gospel of the kingdom. We'll explore it again in a bit more detail in a moment. Peter, can you come and read for us the second reading? Try and identify what is this one. What is the gospel that is mentioned here? We're going to start Romans chapter 1. If you want to turn to Romans chapter 1, there's the references up there.
Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you are also among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Verses 9 and 10. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. Verses 14 to 17. I am a debtor both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Peter. So, what gospel is referred to there?
His son.
The gospel of his son. Okay, so it's about Jesus. Yeah, and where particularly was that? Have you pinpointed the verse there, Leslie? It's right at the beginning, I think, isn't it? Romans 1, isn't it? Almost verse 1. It talks about...
In verse 9,
says, my God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son. Thank you. And there's another one mentioned. It's the same before that, Charlotte. The gospel of God. Okay, verse 1. An apostle set apart from the gospel of God. And verse 3. Concerning it, which is about his son. So this is the same gospel. It's the gospel of God. It's the gospel of his son, the Lord Jesus. And if we were to call this something, what might we call it? I think the clue for us, or a good name, would be found in verse 16. Yes. This is the gospel of salvation. Okay? So in the gospels we find something that Jesus talks about, and the gospel writers talk about, which is the gospel of the kingdom. And in the epistles in particular, there's lots of other verses there, we read about what we can call the gospel of salvation. Or even better, the gospel of salvation and sanctification. But that's getting a bit long. We'll refer to it as the gospel of salvation. Now, I want you just to go again to your ones and twos. I know some of you don't like it, but there you are. We're going to talk together about the Word of God. I would just like you to talk to the people around you and answer this question. What are the key elements? And we haven't got long. What are the key elements of the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom? Okay? And I'd like this group over here, if you're happy to take the top one, the gospel of salvation, there are some readings. If you could just have a quick read of those and try and identify what are the key elements of the gospel of salvation. And this side, if you would look at the gospel of the kingdom, and there's some references for you. We're trying to understand what are the key elements of those, if you like, two gospels. Okay? Go for it. We haven't got long. So as quick as you can. Talk amongst yourselves. Okay. Sorry, I haven't given you very long. Can we look at the gospel of salvation? Okay. Was that you lot over here? The gospel of salvation? Okay. So just single words or very, very short sentences. What are the key elements? And just somebody give me one and then somebody else can give me another. Sean. Faith. Okay. Thank you. That's a key element.
Grace.
The fall. Okay? Inclusiveness, okay? Inclusiveness?
God's great love.
Any others? Okay. Any others that might not have been in the passage? I've put these down. The gospel of salvation, in terms of its key elements, are about these things. The great love of God. That's where it starts, yes? At its centre, it's about the death and resurrection of Jesus and what was going on in his sacrifice of himself on the cross. It's all about grace, yes? But it's God's grace which we apply through faith. So our faith in that is an incredibly important thing. I put baptism there. I don't know that it's particularly in there, but it's a really important key element, because it is how we appropriate, in a sense, that gospel to ourselves, and we say to others, this is what I believe. Forgiveness and righteousness. I think somebody said that it's about forgiveness of sins and righteousness, that through Christ, through his grace, by our faith, he gives to us clothes of righteousness, so that we become acceptable to God, and ultimately it's about eternal life, isn't it? John 3:16, we won't perish but shall have everlasting life. Okay, so there's so much more to say, but those are the key elements, if you like, at the core of what is the gospel of salvation. Now, what about the gospel of the kingdom? Because they are different. I think this is one of the points I want to get across. So, folks, you saw how flowing quickly it was. So let's have some single words. And then, sorry? You do preach the gospel of salvation. I think we also preach the gospel of the kingdom, as Jesus did.
Healing,
okay? In the gospel of the kingdom, it's about healing. Yes, others? It's for the poor, okay, yeah. It's good news for the poor, for the marginalised, for the outcast. It's not just for the sort of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious. It's for all, yeah.
Power. You can't do anything without the Holy Spirit.
Okay, it's about the power of the Holy Spirit, yeah, the kingdom. Where that, you know, in Luke 4, Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to do this. Yeah? Any others? What's the gospel of the kingdom about? Jill?
Well, the kingdom is showing that God is in charge.
Yep. All kingdom stuff. Excellent. Okay. I wrote down these things. The good news of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, is that the kingdom is near. Jesus said, didn't he? At various times he said, the kingdom is near, or the kingdom is here. Because it is where he is. He is the king. And for me, that's good news. That's really good news. When I look out on the world and see what is going on, it is good news to me that the kingdom of God is here. It's here. And this is great news. That because the kingdom is here, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the enemy, the kingdom of Satan, is being pushed back. Do I hear an amen?
Amen?
It's a bit muffled, but it could be a... That's really good news, because it tells me that actually all the wickedness and the sin in the world will not last forever. This is good news. It's good news to the poor, as has been said. It's about healing in body, mind, spirit, physical healing. Emotional healing, all sorts. It's about being set free from the oppression of evil spirits, which Hilary has already mentioned this morning. And it's about the year of the Lord's favour. I really love that. And for me, what is the year of the Lord's favour? The year of the Lord's favour is that because since the cross and until Jesus returns as judge, we aren't under judgment. The judgment of God. God is holding back judgment because now is the time of salvation. There was judgment on the cross. There will be at the end of times. But now God is saying, come. Now is the time of salvation. Do you think that's good news?
Yeah.
I think it's good news. We have two gospels. We have the gospel of the kingdom, which declares that the kingdom of God is here. And we have the gospel of salvation, which declares that you and I can be reconciled to the living and the loving God, that our sins can be forgiven, and that we can receive eternal life. It may be simplistic. I understand it may be simplistic. But I think we could say in summary that the gospel of the kingdom is the good news about the kingdom of God invading and inhabiting our world. And the gospel of salvation is the good news about how we are reconciled to God and become subjects of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? Amen. However, I want to return to what I said a moment ago, that I believe in only one gospel. One gospel. Because these two gospels, they're not in conflict with each other, but rather they find their unity not in a set of words or a creed, but in a person. In the person of Jesus Christ, who is both King of the kingdom and the one and only way we have access into the kingdom. Is that right? Jesus is himself the gospel. These two things, or even if there are more, they are all find their completion in Jesus. Jesus is the good news. We're going to share communion together in a moment as we reflect on this. Jesus expressed it this way. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The apostle, or Peter, said on the day of Pentecost in his sermon, he said, and we've already had it read out to Jeffrey, spoke it a few moments ago, "Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." What a wonderful Saviour we have, as you began. And Paul, when he went around, he said, "I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." There's one gospel, the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the gospel. I've got more that I want to come back to in a moment, which picks up the last bit of where Hilary led us to. But before we do, I would like us just to, we're going to share communion together as an act of remembrance, because we've talked about what is the gospel, and whether it's the gospel of the kingdom, or whether it's the gospel of salvation, it's all about Jesus and who Jesus is and what he has done. And the night before he died, Jesus left us this simple feast. He was having Passover with his friends, with his disciples. And in the midst of that Passover, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, as he passed it around, "Take it and eat it, for this is my body, which is broken for you." And after supper, he took the cup, a cup that spoke to them that were seated there of the blood of the Lamb in Egypt, whose blood was pasted over the walls, and it was because of the blood that the angel of death passed over, and they were saved. And Jesus took that cup and said, "This is now my blood. This is to remind you of my blood, which is shed for you, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins." So we're this morning just going to share very briefly. Some friends will pass the bread around, and we shall receive the bread. And I want to invite you just to hold the small piece of bread in your hand until we've all been served, and then we're going to eat together. Because though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in the one bread. And then we'll pass the cups around, and I invite you, as you receive the cup, to pause, and when you're ready, drink it as a reminder that you yourself, I myself, we each need to come to the Lord individually and receive him as our Lord and Saviour. And during the drinking and sharing of the wine, we're going to sing a beautiful song of faith, sometimes called the Creed. But what I would like to do, it says when Jesus had given thanks, I'd like us just to have a moment of quiet and for you to remember that what Jesus did here, what he has done and we've expressed here, he did for you. And a moment perhaps of confession. And then I want to invite two or three of you just to stand where you are, if you can, or remain seated, whatever you're comfortable with, and just speak out a short prayer of praise and thanksgiving for what this meal means for us. Is that okay? So let's just have a moment of quiet, and we reflect that it was for our sins that Jesus hung and suffered there. And bring ourselves before him again.